From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Senator Harris and I just completed briefings on both COVID and the economic crisis facing this nation. And we're reminded again of the severity of this pandemic.
That was Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden on Thursday. He came out to speak for about 2 minutes and spent about half of the time talking about COVID and the other about the ongoing battle for the White House.
Cases are on the rise nationwide, and we're nearing 240,000 deaths due to COVID. And our hearts go out to each and every family that has lost a loved one to this terrible disease. In America, the vote is sacred. It's how people of this nation express their will. And it is the will of the voters, no one, not anything else, that chooses the President of the United States of America. So, each ballot must be counted. And that's what we're going to see going through now. And that's how it should be. Democracy is sometimes messy. It sometimes requires a little patience as well. But that patience has been rewarded now for more than 240 years with a system of governance that's been the envy of the world. And we continue to feel, Senator and I, we continue to feel very good about where things stand. We have no doubt that when the count is finished, Senator Harris and I will be declared the winners. So I ask everyone to stay calm, all the people to stay calm. The process is working. The count is being completed, and we'll know very soon. So thank you all for your patience, but we have to count the votes. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you so much.
But the former vice president's confidence in his short and favorable outcome may be a bit premature. The Trump campaign has filed challenges in a number of states over issues like this, presented by Jill Stokey in Nevada.
Hi, my name is Jill Stokey. I went to vote and was told I already voted. I pursued the matter, and in years past, I always voted in person. This time, they mailed out the ballot, and somebody took my ballot. They also took the ballot of my roommate. I was told by the interviewer from Channel 8, when I said, did other people do this? He said, yes. He said, you're the first double. Thank you.
President Trump held a dinnertime press conference at the White House and detailed some of the issues being raised in the litigation and some of the problems that they've seen generally in the vote around the country. He also gave some indication of what his plans are in the near future.
Good evening. I'd like to provide the American people with an update on our efforts to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election. If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly, but a lot of votes came in late. I've already decisively won many critical states, including massive victories in Florida, Iowa, Indiana, Ohio. To name just a few, we won these and many other victories despite historic election interference from big media, big money, and big tech. As everybody saw, we won by historic numbers, and the pollsters got it knowingly wrong. They got it knowingly wrong. We had polls that were so ridiculous, and everybody knew it at the time. There was no blue wave that they predicted. They thought there was going to be a big blue wave. That was false. That was done for suppression reasons. But instead, there was a big red wave. And it's been properly acknowledged, actually, by the media. They were, I think, very impressed. But that was after the fact. That doesn't do us any good. We kept the Senate despite having twice as many seats to defend as Democrats, and in a really much more competitive states, we did a fantastic job with the Senate. I think we're very proud of what's happened there. We had many more seats to defend. They spent almost $200 million on Senate races in South Carolina and Kentucky alone, two races, and hundreds of millions of dollars overall against us. At the national level, our opponent's major donors were Wall Street bankers and special interests. Our major donors were police officers, farmers, everyday citizens. Yet for the first time ever, we lost zero races in the House. I was talking to Kevin McCarthy today. He said he couldn't believe it. Zero races. Very unusual thing. Zero. And actually won many new seats with, I think, many more on the way. This was also the year of the Republican woman. More Republican women were elected to Congress than ever before. That's a great achievement. I won the largest share of non-white voters of any Republican in 60 years, including historic numbers of Latino, African-American, Asian-American, and Native American voters, the largest ever in our history. We grew our party by 4 million voters, the greatest turnout in Republican Party history. Democrats are the party of the big donors, the big media, the big tech, it seems, and Republicans have become the party of the American worker, and that's what's happened. And we're also, I believe, the party of inclusion. As everyone now recognizes, media polling was election interference in the truest sense of that word by powerful special interests. These really phony polls, I have to call them phony polls, fake polls, were designed to keep our voters at home, create the illusion of momentum for Mr. Biden, and diminish Republicans' ability to raise funds. They were what's called suppression polls. Everyone knows that now. And it's never been used to the extent that it's been used on this last election. To highlight just a few examples, the day before election, Quinnipiac, which was wrong on every occasion that I know of, had Joe Biden up by 5 points in Florida, and they were off by 8.4 points. And I won Florida easily, easily. So they had me losing Florida by a lot, and I ended up winning Florida by a lot. Other than that, they were very accurate. They had him up 4 points in Ohio, and they were off by 12.2 points. And I also won Ohio, great state of Ohio, very easily. And the Washington Post said Biden up 17 points in Wisconsin, and it was basically even. They were off by about 17 points. And they knew that. They're not stupid people. They knew that. Suppression. There are now only a few states yet to be decided in the presidential race. The voting apparatus of those states are run in all cases by Democrats. We were winning in all the key locations by a lot, actually. And then our numbers started miraculously getting whittled away in secret, and they wouldn't allow legally permissible observers. We went to court in a couple of instances, and we were able to get the observers put in. And when the observers got there, they wanted them 60, 70 feet away, 80 feet, 100 feet away, or outside the building to observe people inside the building. And we won a case, a big case, and we have others happening. There are lots of litigation, even beyond our litigation. There's tremendous amount of litigation generally because of how unfair this process was. And I predicted that. I've been talking about mail-in voting for a long time. It's really destroyed our system. It's a corrupt system. And it makes people corrupt even if they aren't by nature. But they become corrupt. It's too easy. They want to find out how many votes they need, and then they seem to be able to find them. They wait and wait, and then they find them. And you see that on election night. We were ahead in vote in North Carolina by a lot, tremendous number of votes. And we're still ahead by a lot, but not as many, because they're finding ballots all of a sudden. Oh, we have some mail-in ballots. It's amazing how those mail-in ballots are so one-sided, too. I know that it's supposed to be to the advantage of the Democrats, but in all cases, they're so one-sided. We were up by nearly 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. I won Pennsylvania by a lot. And that gets whittled down to, I think they said now we're up by 90,000 votes. And they'll keep coming and coming and coming. They find them all over. And they don't want us to have any observers. although we won a court case. The judge said you have to have observers. Likewise in Georgia, and they're appealing. Actually, they're appealing. We won a case that we want people to watch, and we want observers, and they're actually appealing, which is sort of interesting. I wonder why they'd appeal, that all we want to do is have people watch as they do the vote tabulations. Likewise in Georgia, I won by a lot, with a lead of over, getting close to 300,000 votes on election night in Georgia. And by the way, got whittled down, and now it's getting to be to a point where I'll go from winning by a lot to perhaps being even down a little bit. In Georgia, a pipe burst in a faraway location, totally unrelated to the location of what was happening, and they stopped counting for 4 hours, and a lot of things happened. The election apparatus in Georgia is run by Democrats. We also had margins of 300,000 in Michigan. We're way up in Michigan, won the state. And in Wisconsin, we did likewise fantastically well. And that got whittled down. In every case, they got whittled down. Today, we're on track to win Arizona. We only need to carry, I guess, 55% of the remaining vote, 55% margins. And that's a margin that we've significantly exceeded. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're on track to do okay in Arizona. Our goal is to defend the integrity of the election. We'll not allow the corruption to steal such an important election, or any election for that matter. And we can't allow anybody to silence our voters and manufacture results. I've been doing a lot of public things for a long time. I've never had anything that's been as inspirational by people calling, talking, sending things to us. I've never seen such love and such affection and such spirit as I've seen for this. People know what's happening, and they see what's happening, and it's before their eyes. And there are many instances which will be reported very shortly. There's tremendous litigation going on, and this is a case where they're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election, and we can't let that happen. Detroit and Philadelphia, known as two of the most corrupt political places anywhere in our country, easily cannot be responsible for engineering the outcome of a presidential race, a very important presidential race. In Pennsylvania, Democrats have gone to the state Supreme Court to try and ban our election observers, and very strongly. Now, we won the case, but they're going forward. They don't want anybody in there. They don't want anybody watching them as they count the ballots. And I can't imagine why. There's absolutely no legitimate reason why they would not want to have people watching this process, because if it's straight, they should be proud of it. Instead, they're trying, obviously, to commit fraud. There's no question about that. In Philadelphia, observers have been kept far away, very far away, so far that people are using binoculars to try and see, and there's been tremendous problems caused. They put paper on all of the windows so you can't see in, and the people that are banned are very unhappy and become somewhat violent. The 11th Circuit ruled that in Georgia, the votes have been in by election day, that they should be in by election day, and they weren't. Votes are coming in after election day. And they had a ruling already that you have to have the votes in by election day. To the best of my knowledge, votes should be in by election day. And they didn't do that. Democrat officials never believed they could win this election, honestly. I really believe that. That's why they did the mail-in ballots, where there's tremendous corruption and fraud going on. That's why they mailed out tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever. And I've told everybody that these things would happen, because I've seen it happen. I watched a lot of different elections before they decided to go with this big, massive election with tens of millions of ballots going out to everybody, in many cases totally unsolicited. This was unprecedented in American history. This was by design, despite years of claiming to care about the election security. They refused to include any requirement to verify signatures, identities, or even determine whether they're eligible or ineligible to vote. People are walking in there. They have no idea. They're just taking the numbers. They're writing down things, the workers, and doing a lot of bad things. And we have a lot of information coming and litigation that you'll see that will shake even you people up. And you've seen it all. The officials overseeing the counting in Pennsylvania and other key states are all part of a corrupt Democrat machine that you've written about. And for a long time, you've been writing about the corrupt Democrat machine. I went to school there, and I know a lot about it. It hasn't changed. It's a long time ago, and hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. In Pennsylvania, partisan Democrats have allowed ballots in the state to be received 3 days after the election, and we think much more than that. And they're counting those without even postmarks or any identification whatsoever. So you don't have postmarks, you don't have identification. There have been a number of disturbing irregularities across the nation. Our campaign has been denied access to observe any counting in Detroit. Detroit is another place, and I wouldn't say has the best reputation for election integrity. Poll workers in Michigan were duplicating ballots, but when our observers attempted to challenge the activity, those poll workers jumped in front of the volunteers to block their view so that they couldn't see what they were doing. And it became a little bit dangerous. One major hub for counting ballots in Detroit covered up the windows again with large pieces of cardboard. And so they wanted to protect and block the counting area. They didn't want anybody seeing the counting, even though these were observers who were legal observers that were supposed to be there. In Detroit, there were hours of unexplained delay in delivering many of the votes for counting. The final batch did not arrive until 4 in the morning, and even though the polls closed at 8 o'clock. So they brought it in, and the batches came in, and nobody knew where they came from. We've also been denied access to observe in critical places in Georgia. In multiple swing states, counting was halted for hours and hours on election night, with results withheld from major Democrat-run locations only to appear later. And they suddenly appeared, and they all had the name Biden on them, or just about all, I think almost all. They all had the name Biden on them, which is a little strange. I challenge Joe and every Democrat to clarify that they only want legal votes, because they talk about votes, and I think they should use the word legal, legal votes. We want every legal vote counted, and I want every legal vote counted. We want openness and transparency, no secret count rooms, no mystery ballots, no illegal votes being cast after Election Day. You have Election Day, and the laws are very strong on that. You have an Election Day, and they don't want votes cast after Election Day, and they want the process to be an honest one. It's so important. We want an honest election, and we want an honest count, and we want honest people working back there, because it's a very important job. So that's the way this country is going to win. That's the way the United States will win. And we think we will win the election very easily. We think there's going to be a lot of litigation, because we have so much evidence, so much proof, and it's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land. We'll see. But we think there'll be a lot of litigation, because we can't have an election stolen like this. And I tell you, I have been talking about this for many months with all of you, and I've said very strongly that mail-in ballots are going to end up being a disaster. Small elections were a disaster. Small, very easy to handle elections were disastrous. This is a large-scale version, and it's getting worse and worse every day. We're hearing stories that are horror stories, absolute horror stories. And we can't let that happen to the United States of America. It's not a question of who wins, Republican, Democrat, Joe, myself. We can't let that happen to our country. We can't be disgraced by having something like this happen. So it will be hopefully cleared up, maybe soon, I hope soon. But it'll probably go through a process, a legal process. And as you know, I've claimed certain states, and he's claiming states, and we can both claim the states. But ultimately, I have a feeling judges are going to have to rule. But there's been a lot of shenanigans, and we can't stand for that in our country. Thank you very much.
And we're going to take a look at that with Professor Tony Montero, who is in Philadelphia in the heart of this entire mess. Professor Montero, this has been going on for a few days. It appears to be something that's going to be hanging for another couple of days. And it's a little unnerving. This is uncharted territory, I think, even compared to 2000.
Oh, yeah, it's no doubt about it. And, you know, I'm from Philadelphia in this hotbed now of mail-in ballots, universal mail-in ballots, something that the election authorities in Philadelphia have never had to deal with, don't know how to deal with it. And my opinion is it opened every door possible to election corruption. And even the people you see opening the ballots and counting or putting them in this or the other place are not trained to deal with what they're faced with. So this is a big crisis for this election in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. But one thing is certain, the nation is devolving into deeper and deeper political chaos. And that's where all of this will lead. If it were not chaotic enough with the conduct of the election by the corporate media and the polling agencies and the high tech like Twitter and Facebook and Google trying to control how people saw the election, the information they got, and so on. If that were not chaotic enough, perhaps the unintended consequence of what they did to elect or attempt to elect Biden is producing a cure, or as they say, which is worse than the problem. The cure to Trump is actually going to be worse than Trump because it will be political chaos, which then raises the next question, which the corporate media and the elites put on the table early on in this election cycle. Would Trump leave if he were defeated? Now it seems that there will be no orderly and peaceful transition of power. First of all, because the election is going to be litigated in multiple states, in multiple courts, and you have a population of about 70 million people that voted for Trump who are not going to accept an election outcome that seems to have been based upon cheating, using these mail-in ballots. We're in the crisis of a lifetime, a crisis of a nation and of a political system. Academic political scientists, as I've said before, refer to this as a crisis of legitimacy, right, where people do not accept the government as legitimate. More radical thinkers over time have referred to this as a crisis when the ruling class can no longer rule. And the masses, or a good part of them, the people, do not accept their rule as legitimate. And therefore, the big question is, where do we go from here?
It's been interesting watching the vote come in, you know, the counting aggregate over the last few days, as they show a boost here or there for one or the other party. They mention whether it came from the people that went out to vote on the machines on election day or from mail-in ballots. And with that, there's a presumption that's been held, that hasn't really been tested to my knowledge, that the Biden voters may be concentrated more heavily in the mail-in ballots. Their concerns over COVID-19 and also the encouragement by the Democratic Party, even the get-out-the-vote effort that's centered on this, just made it come out that way.
No,
and
no, that Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But that's faulty.
Well,
that's
no, but just now, you know, to concede that just for a moment, yes. you see at least two breaks in, okay, who are these voters and who are those voters? Mm-hmm. And then someone that they haven't mentioned yet, and this is something that's unusual. Whenever it's close, usually the two candidates are clawing all over each other to insist that these votes be counted, the military. And, you know, you have thousands and thousands of military members, the troops, quote unquote, whose ballots have not been counted yet in the main. And so as they come in, and one might think that they are going to be as heavily for Trump as the other ballots, the other paper ballots were for Biden, that could swing some of those states back. So if you're looking at a situation where you have division, you can actually see relief among the population and where the divisions lie, like the fault lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think in the argument of the Biden people chose to vote by mail-in ballots.
I hear you on that. That's where also been played up, and my suspicion is that's where they wanted to commit the fraud, so they opened the space up
to
do it. Yes,
absolutely.
I agree.
But we know that 100 million people or a little more voted before Election Day, and we were told that the bulk of these people were Biden voters. Now, 150 million people in total voted. So that's saying that two-thirds of all the people that voted in this election, which was a historic turnout, voted before November 3rd.
Which is the opposite of what they've been saying.
Three-fourths of them voted in person.
Right.
Only one-fourth
voted
by mail.
Right.
So there is something very faulty in the argument.
That's 400 million, isn't it?
That's right. So if the election should have been decided by the early voters plus the people that voted on November 3rd. In other words, the in-person vote.
Right.
But now we're getting all of these mail-in ballots, especially in Pennsylvania, maybe in Georgia as well, that are coming from the large cities. Large cities, for instance, in Philadelphia, we don't have a Republican Party worth talking about. The Republican Party does not really have any presence on electoral boards or on anything. They got two on city council because the city council, by law, set aside two seats for Republicans.
Right.
But the city is completely a Democratic Party city.
Right. Like most large cities in the West.
That's right. Like Detroit, like Atlanta.
New York,
and
Chicago,
they mobilize the bureaucracy to decide what the election will look like,
right,
who will be elected and who will not.
Of course.
I think that outside of maybe Philadelphians, that most people will see this as an opportunity for cheating, for corruption on a scale that we've never seen. Mm. Just one other small thing. You know, the assumption is that all black people voted for Biden. Well, there are some early exit polls that were done. What they showed, let me start on this end, is that black women voting for Trump doubled between 2016 and 2020, going from 4% to maybe 10%.
Wow.
Black men voting for Trump went from 13% in 2016 to close to 30%.
Wow.
Now you talk about an exit poll. That means people who are willing to say, and black folk who are willing to say they voted for Trump
in
this atmosphere of a Salem witch hunt.
Right.
You know,
Right. That you would assume that would be understood. Okay, well, we're going to come back to this next week and hope that things don't fall apart over the weekend, at least to the extent that we'll still be here next week.
All right, man. Thank you
very much, Professor Montero. We'll see you then.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.